Ryan.
Ryan.
I see you feeling better. Sean, welcome everybody. Thank you very much. Well, first things first, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you everybody for coming. Thinking a timely topic with rhymes in the title. I want to try and develop the question first, and then we'll see if it's interesting enough to answer. The first source you have in the source sheet is in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Tzarech lizor ma'od ba'adlakas neiros Chanukah." You have to be very careful in the neiros Chanukah. V'afilu ani hamisparnes min hatzdaka shoyel u'mecher k'susoy v'lekech shemen l'hadlik. So even if you have a poor person whose entire parnasa comes from tzedakah, nonetheless, he has to borrow or even sell his shirt, his clothing.
So the Rambam.
The Rambam has Hilchas Megillah and Chanukah together. It's all the Dirabonans. Should I start over?
No.
The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva, Hi Ad Mo'oid. The Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a very precious mitzvah. I don't know how familiar you are with the Rambam. This is not exactly a typical language of the Rambam. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah is interested in giving us halacha. We all know he wrote it basically to supplant Torah Shebaal Peh. You don't need anything, he said. You need my Sefer, you need a Tanakh, and you're good to go. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. And he wants us to know, like an emotional point, that Ner Chanukah is Chaviva Hi Ad Mo'oid. So right away, it's like very strange. It's like astonishing. Like what? What does he want from me with this language? I should appreciate it. V'tzarech adam lizoher bo, and a person has to be very careful with it, kidei lehudia anes, to inform about the miracle, lehosif b'shevach hakel, and to add to the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hodia lo al anisim sha'asa lanu, and to thank him for the miracles that he did for us. Afilu ein l'mayochal, even if he has nothing to eat except for what he gets from tzedakah, so he has to sell his shirt off his back if necessary to have it. So that's the makor for the Shulchan Aruch. It's coming straight out of the Rambam. So it doesn't really help us, other than the fact that we know where the Mechaber got it from. Where did the Rambam get it from? So there's a Magid Mishnah, we're just working backwards. There's a Magid Mishnah who says, what does the Rambam mean? He has two comments in Magid Mishnah. The first one is addressing, what does it mean, it's so precious? And the second comment is addressing why in the world we're selling our clothing. Not us, but an onion. So this first comment is, and you tell me what you think about this. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Rav Huna, Haragil b'ner Chanukah, Hevyon lo banim talmidei chachamim. If a person is ragil b'ner Chanukah, what's ragil? Well, he's used to it, it's frequent, it's something that he's used to doing. I mean, he's got to do it. It's a mitzvah. It's a strange language. But ha-ragil b'ner Chanukah, he'll have children that are talmidei chachamim. Why is he making this comment here? So apparently the Magid Mishnah thinks that's a reason why ner Chanukah is chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's so precious because of what it accomplishes for us. Well, what do you say? Is that good enough for mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od? I mean, there's no other things that we get the bottom line. What about teaching your kids Torah? Does the Rambam write that teaching your children, sending them to yeshiva, is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od? Because obviously, if you teach them Torah, they'll become talmidei chachamim, right? So I don't know. Like, I don't want to say anything, you know, against the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah is who he is. He's trying to figure out where the Rambam is coming from. But it's... So that's what he says. What about this idea, and does that tie in to the next point? If it's a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, is that the reason why you're selling the shirt off your back? It's so precious that you even have to go that far, or are they two separate points? So, we'll see in a second. Magid Mishnah seems to say they're two separate points. It's precious because of what it accomplishes for our children, but there's a separate point. What's the second point? U'mashe kazav rabbeinu afilu einu mayochal, nireh, the Rambam got this from another halacha, which appears in the Rambam himself, in Chametz Umatzah. Shafilu ani shebe Yisrael. Even the poorest of the Jews, lo yivchos, me arba kosos, should make sure he has the four kosos. V'atam, why? Why should an ani make sure he has arba kosos? Bishum persume nisa. Because of persume nisa. Now we're entering into a reason. Apparently, so the Magid Mishnah is suggesting, when you find the halacha of persume nisa, it comes along with a requirement of garage sale. Selling the clothes off your back if necessary to accomplish the mitzvah, which is persume nisa. How does he know that? He says, because the Rambam says it. The Rambam says, by arba kosos, which apparently are a mitzvah of persume nisa, arba kosos deraisa or derabanan?
Some of them are deraisa.
Are they?
They're not.
One of them is.
So to say the Haggadah on a kos,
it's deraisa.
It's not. To say anything on a kos.
The first one's not deraisa?
No, it can't be deraisa.
You're saying Kiddush.
Kiddush Hayom, maybe.
So is Kiddush al hakos deraisa? So where how do we know Kiddush in general? So Shabbos, we know that from Zachor Esyom HaShabbos L'Kadoshah. So Zachor Esyom HaShabbos L'Kadoshah means to say, to remember Shabbos, to be Mazzakir Shabbos. So we have to say it. So we're Yotze that by saying Vayechulu. Or we're Yotze that with the Bruch Makadosh HaShabbos at home. But on the coast is Derabbanan. To say it with wine on the coast is Derabbanan. And in fact, I had a friend that called me up the other day. His whole family was away in Dallas for a bar mitzvah. He was staying home. He has some medical issues. So he says to me, when they're home, I can have them drink the wine. But nobody's home, so what should I do? Exactly. So this is a tzavar pashut. You make kiddush on chala.
No, not grape juice.
Well, grape juice is also not so agreeable with him. So, but in fact, but the truth of the matter is, the Chavetz Chaim used to make kiddush on chala all the time. And wine was difficult to come by in his time. Very expensive. But in any case, in the Gemara, you have Rav already saying that challah is so scrumptious that like it's probably preferable to wine in a lot of situations. You need smaller than weak wine, you know. Challah. In any case, so arba kosos are derabana. They're instituted apparently for persume nisa. We'll see the makor in a second. But that's what the Magid Mishnah is saying, is that whenever you find a halacha of persume nisa and the source is arba kosos, which is for persume nisa, so then the Rambam himself quotes this idea that you have to sell the shirt off your back in order to be Mekayim Arba Kosos. You know the story they say about the Lesa Levi. Anyway, it's in that Soloveitchik Masorah. That one time there was someone that came to the door and wanted with a Shiloh. A fascinating Shiloh. Shiloh was, can you fulfill Arba Kosos with milk? It's fascinating to the person in Lundis, because Chamer Medina, he sits there with his thumb to figure it out, but he didn't bother answering the Shiloh. Whoever it was, gave this person a ton of money. So everyone watched this, and they're like, they counted the money he's giving over. They're like, why did you give so much money? Like, to buy wine didn't take that much. He's like, what was the Shiloh? The Shiloh was milk, right? So what else don't they have? Meat. So he foresaw it. I mean, it's that's how you have to think about chesed, you know. You have to see what's ahead of the game. So he gave them a ton of money because they didn't have meat. Can't have milk with the meat. Anyway, so that's the source for the Rambam's idea by Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is also because of what? Why do we fulfill it? What's the mitzvah? Persume Nisa. And therefore, what they do, that Tzad HaShavah, what they have in common, is that Mocher Kesuso. Okay, so where does all this come from? So the next verse you see is the Mishnah itself. So Mishnah says, Erev Pesachim Samech Lamincha Liyochel Adam Ad Shetech Shach. You're not supposed to eat right away. We don't care about that right now. Filu Anishu Yisrael Liyochel Ad Sheyesev. Even an ani shouldn't have less than arba kosos of wine, and even if it's coming from the tamchui. Tamchui means like the soup kitchen. That's where they supplied all the food for the ani. So, here's what's interesting. Is this a good source or not a good source? Think about the Mishnah for a second. Vafilu ani what? Lo yifchisu lo me arba kosos shal yayin. Vafilu min hatamchui. Does he say he has to sell his clothes? An ani has to have it, even if it's coming from the soup kitchen. Well, who's providing it from the soup kitchen? We are. So, what's the Mishnah actually telling us?
That we should buy him.
We have a responsibility to him, right? Not that he has a responsibility to go sell his clothes. The Mishnah doesn't tell anything about that. It's our responsibility. No. So, what's the Magid Mishnah? What's the where is it coming from? So, there's a Rashbam here. That's the next source. Vafilu. If he's already getting food from the soup kitchen, obviously it's zero money. So he's the poorest of the poor. It's not Masechtas Peya, and he proves it because in Peya, in Mishnah already, it says, Mishnah Lishon Mazon Shei Sudos, Lo Yutol Min HaTamchil, if he has enough for two meals, he's not allowed to take from the soup kitchen. Afilu Hachi. Im Lo Nasna Lo Gabayt Staka. Here's where we approach what we're talking about. If the Gabayt Staka did not provide him with what he needed, Yimkor Es Malbusho, he should sell his clothes. Oh, Yilador, he should borrow money. Yaskir Esatzmo, he should rent himself out, you know, get some sort of job or something like that. Bishvil Yayin La'arba Kosos. That's how the Rashbam learns the Mishnah. So, like, you could use your thumb on that one. Where is the Rashbam coming from? How did he know that? But at least you have a Makor Mishonim, that's what's going on in the Mishnah. Bafilim in a Tamchui, so now we have to ask ourselves, so, in the Gemara, why? Why is the Ani doing that? So the Gemara later on says, Bafilim in a Tamchui, pay attention to the next word. Pshita! Pshita! It's obvious! What's obvious? That the Ani has to do whatever he can to fulfill Arba Kosos? Is that so obvious? The word pshita is very troubling, because pshita implies that I don't need a Mishnah to tell me this. Every line in a Mishnah is a chiddush. If it's in the Mishnah, it's a chiddush. Otherwise, the Gemara says, pshita. So apparently, this is not so obvious, and the Gemara says, yes it is! I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. So I don't get it. So an Ani has to... So this is normal? This is normally the halacha? And whenever there's a mitzvah to fulfill, there are one on? So an Ani has to sell his clothes to make sure that he's fulfilling the mitzvah? What is pshita? But the Gemara says, pshita! We're going to come back to that. So the Gemara goes on, L'nitzricha ela afilo l'Rabbi Akiva. What this mission of the Chiddush is really only according to Rabbi Akiva. D'amar asei shabbat chachol v'al titztarech l'priyus. Because it was a machloikis. Tanoi. Rabbi Akiva held that when it comes to Shabbos, so then you should make your Shabbos like the vach, like chol, and not have to beg, and not have to be mevazi yourself to get food for Shabbos. So he held, you don't have to go begging, at least for Shabbos. Maybe in general. So for him, it's a chiddush. But for everyone else, the hell, even for Shabbos, apparently you have to go begging. So then, pshita! It's astonishing, right? I mean, like, really? Really? So, what's the reason? Why did Rabbi Akiva agree here? So the Gemara concludes, why? Hacha, he agrees, Mishum Pirsume Nisa Moda. Because of Pirsume Nisa, even Rabbi Akiva, the Hilger Rabbi Akiva is masculine, fine. If it's Pirsume Nisa, then apparently you have to even be Mevazi yourself and go ahead and beg to make sure that you have it. So it's like so everyone agrees. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, so if it weren't Pirsume Nisa, so then what would be the din? What would an Ani have to do? So this might depend. According to Rabbi Akiva, so the Ani does not have to go begging, at least for Shabbos. And according to everybody else, sounds like it's pshita, right? That he has to go begging, even for a din to Rabbana. However, this is the huge however. There's another Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Tesamad Aleph, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, B'mitzvah ad shlish. So this is the snippet, this is a quote. When it comes to a mitzvah, you have to spend up until a third. End quote. Right? How Gemara's always work, right? Yeah, what's it talking about? What does it mean by mitzvah? Actually, that's what Gemara wants to know. So, what are our possibilities? That I have to spend up to a third of my parnasa? If I have a bank account, I have to spend up to a third to fulfill a mitzvah? Is that what it means? That's what it sounds like it means. So, what does the Gemara say? My shlish. Ilema shlish beso. If it means a third of his house, of his parnasa, a third of his bank account, elameyata, if that's the case, isramile, plus a mitzvasa. What happens if simultaneously he has three mitzvahs that come his way? He's broke. He's broke. What? He's going to have to give his whole bank account over to this? It's like, the Gemara can't fathom that. There's no, absolutely no way. Elema rizera, behidur mitzvah, ad shlish b'mitzvah. This is the classic concept of hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah, you're supposed to add on a third. So when a person goes to buy an esrog, we'll see, you know, in a second in the rush. A person goes to buy an esrog, so then you're going to have to add on a third of whatever's a kosher esrog. So you don't necessarily have to buy the $120 Esrei. But if a kosher Esrei will cost, you know, $30, so you add on, you know, another 10 or whatever to buy an Esrei. That's called Hidur Mitzvah. That's how you makayim the mitzvah of Hidur Mitzvah, by adding a third. However you work out that third. So, does that have anything to do with us? What do you say? The Gemara said, we had a Habamina, that you have to spend a third of your bank account. And Gemara said, that's ridiculous, because three mitzvahs, then you'll spend your entire bank account. It doesn't make any sense. So, does that have any implication for our question about how much I have to spend?
Mean you spend everything. The third means you take the third and you spread it out over the three mitzvahs. Why does it mean if the three mitzvahs use a third?
So you have to spend all of your money if that's what it takes, right? Not what the
no,
money
you're saying take the third, and now you have, let's say you make $100,000 a year. $33,000 is put away for your third of mitzvahs. Now, of that $33,000, you break it down to thirds.
Keep going. For each mitzvah that comes your way, so correct. That way, you know, you're okay. You always keep breaking it down.
Doesn't mean you have to use 100, you use the 33 for all the mitzvahs.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. That's a different shot, maybe. And what about the
that's
next
what you're saying. So you do it on a year accrual basis. Yearly,
make him the treasurer, right?
Don't make me the treasurer. I don't know.
She gets dividends.
So, okay. So the Rush gets involved with this and says something that's critical for this whole approach. The Rush says, Hidur mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. The Havamina was that it means you have to spend a third of your bank account. And the Maskana is, no. Individual mitzvah, you have to figure out how much is going to akash your mitzvah and add on a third. Matzah esrog, shuroi, let's say, spo, shuke egos. You find a nut-sized esrog, yosef, shlish, liknos yofam yimenu. So he has a docistic detail what that means in terms of the shlish. Ma'ad shlish, milagav. And the third is how, there are two ways to always, whenever you find these chazals, about a quarter or a third, whatever, it's always, whether it's a third like we think of it, or it's a third on top of it, more, but in any case. So now, in the middle he says, when the Gemara said, it's absurd to say that if three mitzvahs happen to him at the same time, that he should have to give all of his money. And the Gemara rejects that out of hand. Shaminan, we hear from that rejection. She'ein adam mechil vazvez hon rav bishva mitzvachas. So a person never has to be mevazvez to spend an incredible amount of money on any individual mitzvah. Otherwise, what's bothering the Gemara? The Gemara should have been like, what's wrong with that? So fine, let him spend his whole bank account. Why do you gotta give him money anyway? You know, like, Gemara doesn't do that. Gemara says, that's absurd. So apparently, you don't have to spend an incredible amount. That's the Gemara's assumption. So says the Rush, you see from this Gemara very clearly, that the person does not have to spend an extraordinary amount of money on any mitzvah. Even if it's a mitzvah that's going to pass. To go to Esrog v'lulav. I'm not going to be able to get one this year because it's too expensive. They say a story about the Belzer Rebbe, that they had, and Esrog finally made it where he was when he was running away. He was in Hungary at the time. So an Esrog made it, and so there was one Esrog for like the entire city. So at first they were like, well, we'll get one from another place, whatever, you know, we'll keep this one. He said, no. We have two Esrogim right now. This one's supposed to go to the next city. You send it. So I said, but Rebbe, what's going to be? Everyone's going to want to use this one. He's like, and they will. By the time he got his Esrog back, he'd used it, and he gave it to everybody else. Then he got it back. It was black. So they say that he looked at it. He looked at it with tears in his eyes, and he says, Mamish, you know, from a different perspective. So that's what he says. Esrog, if it's too expensive, so you don't have to spend a ton of money on it. But Gemara, Chashiv Guzmar, then he deals with, you know, with contradictions. And the last line is, he says, you know, and similarly, we find that's Takanah Midrabanan. If a person's giving tzedakah, what's the max you're supposed to give?
20th.
Right, 20%. Chomesh, Hashemeth. That's the max you're supposed to give. That's a Takana Midrabanan. So people don't end up putting themselves in a situation where they're going to require tzedakah. So certainly not going to have to spend more than that. So it's interesting. He's not saying how much you do have to spend. He's just saying, well, it's certainly not that much, because that we know for sure. So if we were going to draw conclusions from this rush, what would come out is that if there is a super expensive mitzvah, if there is Ner Hanukkah is only Derabanan. Here we're talking about Deraisis. If there's a mitzvah Deraisis that comes our way, and it's so expensive that we're going to have to spend more than 20% of our bank account, so you know what? Wait a minute. But then, but now we're all confused, right? Because by Ner Chanukah, the Gemara says the Ani has got to sell the shirt off his back. So something's wrong here.
It's not tzedakah. It's not, why is that considered tzedakah?
The Ani has to do whatever he can. So if he has any money, he certainly has to spend it. That's much more than a fifth.
But a fifth is for giving to other people tzedakah.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Doing this is not giving tzedakah. It's the limits for...
So what do you want to say? And therefore what?
So the fifth has nothing to do with the...
So you don't even like the calculation. So is it more or less? Do I have to spend more on mitzvahs or less on mitzvahs?
I'm just saying that the 20% has nothing to do with anything.
Good. So, but we have no ceiling, right? Well, is there a minimum?
10.
Why? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, what?
10.
Why?
I don't know. Sounds like a good number.
So again, from tzedakah. We have the concept of the meiser. So if you're giving a tenth of tzedakah, it's stoning. I have to spend at least a tenth on mitzvahs. No. So, again, this is all brought down the postkin, just like you're saying. So, okay, so what's the resolution over here? So what do you say? What's the resolution? You have a resolution? So, by the way, Halach L'maaseh said this Rosh is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, so in case we're getting nervous.
Not sweating, though.
Ronnie's getting nervous. What?
We're not sweating,
though. Not sweating.
I'm fine.
The Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like this Rosh. Hago, Misha Ein Lo Esrig, Bashar Mitzvah Zavaris. You don't have to spend a ton of money. At maximum, and you know whether the comparison's even legit or not, but you certainly don't have to spend more than a chomesh. And he quotes, of course, the Rosh. It's the difference between ase and los ase. Says that when it comes to a los ase, if a person has to attend, you know, whatever the Christmas party is, and they're serving pork, you know, and they say, you know, eat it, we're firing you. So, okay, get fired. Lose all your money, lose your parnasa, to not violate a law. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But that's not what we're focusing on. So, what's the answer? Elisha, what's the answer? What's unique about what we have discussed that you have to sell the shirt off your back? What mitzvahs have we pinpointed so far? Only Pursume Nisa. So we've pinpointed Arba Kosos, and we've pinpointed an extension of it. That's the suggestion, anyway. The only Makor we have is Arba Kosos.
That was Pursume Nisa, though, the Arba Kosos.
Huh? Exactly. So we have Arba Kosos, and that's it. The Rambam tells us what? We're going to extend it to Ner Chanukah.
That's also Pursume Nisa. What do we extend to? It's under the same branch.
Maybe the reason why Arbacosis is only because Pursume Nisa, some other dinner, but I don't know, we could make an argument that it's, for some reason, it's not rooted in Pursume Nisa. But we're not going to.
Imagine how the template, okay, fine.
We're not going to. That's fine with me. Because that's what the Rambam sees. That's certainly how the Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam. So I'm good with that. So apparently, whenever you find a mitzvah of Pursume Nisa, then the regular rules don't apply. I mean, it's astonishing, because Pursume Nisa is Derabanan, and these mitzvahs are Deoraisa. But nonetheless, apparently we have to spend all of our money on Pursume Nisa, and not on regular mitzvahs Aseh Deraisa. Shocking. Okay? But that seems to be what comes out. So what's left? What other mitzvahs do we have that are Pursume Nisa? Arbokosos? Think of the title for the shiur.
Oh, Chanukah.
Chanukah. Arbokosos. What else? Any more?
Dressing up on
the... How much you have to spend on your costume? No, but you're right. Purim. Purim is Pursume Nisa, right? So do you find an expression of this?
Well, yeah. Of course there's an expression, because you're giving out money all the time. You know, in Purim is a big thing to give out the...
Okay. So how much...
Stuck or whatever.
So how much do you have to give?
Oh, God, it's a non-stop. They just bang on your door.
What is that?
That's the word I was looking for.
I just sent it to the front door.
So I have a question for you. The question's like this.
No, so we're giving out stucco. Yes. That's what I'm saying on Purim. So what?
No, but the question is, do you find an expression of Pursume Nisa? I have to spend my entire fortune on some mitzvah of Purim because of Pursume Nisa. Is there such
What's the mitzvah of Purim?
Well, how many mitzvahs of Purim are there?
Get drunk. That's really it. And give me... Okay, my point is, what spending is there, really?
Good. Exactly. So you're going to argue there is no such thing.
There's no spending.
That's yeah, but I'm going to prove you wrong. But we'll hold off on that for 1 second.
Right.
We got to have some fun around here. So by Megillah, you have to buy a Megillah. You have to spend all your money on Megillah. Look, you'll find someone else to read you the Megillah. Big deal. Okay, how about wine? You'll find something to get you wine. What? The Machas is a Shekel? Yeah, Minig. So what about the following case? Question is, what if you have an Ani? That's what we want to know. So where would he have to spend his money? So on the 2 minutes is either Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavionim. So is he Mechliyev in Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavionim? Or is he exempt if he doesn't have enough money to afford it? So the Gemara Taga says that if he doesn't have enough money to send Mishloach Manos, so whatever Su'ud that he's going to have, he'll switch it with someone else and he'll give him his Su'ud.
I was going to say a flip. Maybe he'll make money on it.
Maybe, if it's a good businessman. Right. But here you see that he's spending all his money. He's giving away his whole meal. And what about Matanos Lavionim?
He's getting it back.
But he has to give it away. Hopefully he'll get one back. Yeah, switch it back.
Find the guy to give you $100.
You don't think it's the best
raya. And you find a family that only needs 50.
So if you don't like the Mishloach Manos, take a look at Matanos Lavionim. Next door is Zorach HaShulchan. He says, Mechina filu ani amatzer al psachim. You need a poor person who's going door to door. Chayv litein shtei Matanos shtei Lavionim. Acherim. He has to give presents to two other poor people. Kimo? What does it say? There's Chanukah of Arba Kaisis. So the Erech HaShulchan thinks it applies by Purim too. You'll find it by Matanos Lavionim. Find it by Matanos Lavionim.
Why can't you exchange with another Avion? The same thing, but he can do it 12 months. So exchange another.
Hopefully Avion. Someone will give him. Hopefully someone will give
make
him.
Make a deal before. I mean, that's the whole lot. They're supposed to. Maybe there's nobody
can
else
you pouring switch? It in. Can you say, I'll give you a present if you give it
Matanos Lavionim or something? Or maybe you can do it that way even.
Maybe. I don't know. Good question. It sounds interesting.
That's semantics. That's not.
Bunny's going to solve some trouble here. Okay, but in any case, so that you find this by Pirsumenis across the board in these three cases of, what's the title again? Ner, Dever, and Esther. You find across the board that you find this Pirsumenis. So what is so critical about Pirsumenis? Why are we so crazy about Pirsumenis? Can we give it a little bit of an understanding? So I just want to quickly point out to you that there's something else that's fascinating about Ner Chanukah. And I think the two go together, although they don't have to. The other thing that's interesting about Chanukah in general is the connection between the house and Chanukah. So if you have the women's shear, this will tie in, dovetail perfectly. Where do you find an expression of the house in Chanukah? Yeah, so does it really revolve around the house? Does that have to do with the house? Does that have to do with me? Wherever I go, I got to light a menorah? So what's it really depend on? So the Gemara, the next verse in the Gemara is Tanur Ban Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeiso. The classic line of Ner Chanukah is the mitzvah is Ner Ish Ubeiso. There's one flame for a person and his home. So that's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's really all you need. And by the way, this whole issue of the Ani having to sell the shirt off his back to get a Ner Chanukah, how much does he have to get? Majin min a majin? The answer is no. And we only have to supply with one Ner. That's the mitzvah. He'll be Yotze. So it's all you really need is one candle for the household, for everyone in that house. Which is unusual, right? Because, you know, if you have your kids living with you, if other people are living with you, so there's one flame for everybody. Where do you ever say such a thing? I'll put on tefillin for us today. It's not a problem. You gotta put on tefillin. I gotta put on tefillin. We gotta put on tefillin. What's going on over here? Why is it so dependent on the house? I'll tell you something that's really unusual. So we all know there's Mahajan, and Mahajan Minim Mahajan, right? In Ner Chanukah, these levels. So what's the Mahajan? So the Mahajan is Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. That when we light on the first night of Chanukah, so if there are five people that live in our house, five candles the first night. How many the second night? Five candles the second night. Third night? Five candles the third night. What are we representing with our candles? What do we add to the mitzvah? The candles are representing how many people live in the house. Go ahead. It's interesting. It's like a random way to increase candles. Like, well, why should it be that way that we are expressing how many people live in the house? Like, why not? Food? And Mahajan Mina Mahajan is this famous machlokas Rishonim. Do you add on to the people of the house, or do you simply just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? So to speak, does everyone, so to speak, have their own menorah, or is it just there's one menorah for the whole house going from 1 to 8, or Bishamah 8 to 1? So. And then the last point over here, this next two sources, is Haro and Ner Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. If a person sees an Ner Chanukah, there's a bracha. Now, of course, we never make this bracha, because it's really only for a person that doesn't have an Ner Chanukah. he's supposed to make a bracha, so he doesn't completely lose out on the mitzvah. So Tosfos is like astonished by this. Like, where do you ever have such a mitzvah, that you, not a mitzvah, but a bracha on a mitzvah? Shar mitzvos could go on a lulav, a sukkah, lo tiknu levarich leroe. Where do you ever find a mitzvah on seeing, a bracha on seeing a mitzvah? Elagabin er Chanukah. What? See, interesting. Bishum chavivus hanes. Right, we're back to the Rambam. It's a mitzvah chaviva hi ad mod. Because it's such a chaviv nes. V'gam yishim sheyesh kama b'nei adam, she'en lehem batim. Because there are people that are homeless. Now, Baruch Hashem, nowadays, I don't think that's so true, but there were people that were homeless. V'ein b'yadam l'kayim ha-mitzvah. They simply can't fulfill it. Why can't they fulfill it? So they're like, wherever they're living. And it says they don't have a house. It's a mitzvah in a house. That's what Tosfos is saying. It's a mitzvah in a house. But he likes the first reason better, because otherwise, why shouldn't there be a bracha on seeing a mezuzah? If I don't have a house, I see a mezuzah, I should make a bracha. I can't fulfill the mitzvah, I don't have a house. I need a house to fulfill a mezuzah. So in any case, what's shot behind that as well? Why is there such a component of the house when it comes to Ner Chanukah? Okay, so here we're going to diverge from the halachic presentation and just discuss why it might be that this mitzvah is so unusual in that it's so precious, number one, this language we saw twice in Rishonim, in the Rambam and in Tosfos, and there's this unusual halacha, Pirsumei Nisa, that we're selling, a person doesn't sell his shirt off his back if necessary to get it. And three, why is this so much of a focus on a house? Why is this whole house so integrated into Ner Chanukah? So, I think it goes back to what the Nes really was and why it's so chaviv. Everyone asks, why was the Nes of the Pach Shemen even necessary? Usually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he feels bad for us. You're in the desert. You have nothing to eat. You have nothing to drink. I'll give you man. I'll give you Be'er Miriam. You know, you don't have a laundromat to go to. So the Anoni HaKavod will take care of that too. There were lots of nisim that happened, but they were for reasons. Do we really need the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? What would have happened if it hadn't happened? What would have happened? There would have been tamei oil. Either we wouldn't light the menorah at all, or Pashtus is, they actually would have lit it, even though it was tamei. That's the Pashtus. Why is that the Pashtus? So, Pesach Sheni. What's Pesach Sheni? We'll talk about that bleeding editor another time. Pesach Sheni is also amazing. Here you have, oh, you missed it? Don't worry. Second chance. Second chance of mitzvahs, really, physically. Okay, but in any case, so you have this Pesach Sheni. Who gets to bring Pesach Sheni? The person who couldn't bring Pesach Rishon. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because he was tamei. Can bring it if you're tamei. What happens if most of the Jewish people are tamei? There was a war, whatever. Most of the Jewish people are tamei. Does most of the Jewish people bring Pesach Sheni? The answer is no. Tumma Hutra B'Tzibur. That's the source for this concept, that when most of the Tzibur is tamei, so then Tumma goes out the window, you bring a Korban Pesach B'Tumma. So here, Chanukah time, there's a big war, many, many people tamei, perhaps all the Klal Yisrael, most Klal Yisrael, I don't know. So why shouldn't you say Tumma Hutra B'Tzibur? So light the tamei oil. So that's the question that was made famous by the Pnei Yeshua. But everyone asks this question, and they're like, you know, like 1,000 different answers. So I'll tell you something that means a lot to me. I think that the mitzvah was necessary because of what it taught us. You know, what's so astonishing about Chanukah is that it was like in a lot of ways an internal galus. Usually we're in galus somewhere else. Chanukah, we were in galus in Eretz Yisrael. Usually we're fighting against somebody else. Chanukah, not only were there Yavanim, there were Misyavanim among us. So, you find by Chanukah a very unusual thing, that in addition to the physical battle to have freedom, political freedom, whatever freedoms we needed, religious freedom, there was another problem, and that was the philosophy that was affecting us, this internal type of galus. It's not so complicated to fight the war. We needed a nais, it's Rabin Bat Ma'atim, there's no question about it. But that's one point that at least we can understand how to do it. But imagine the following. What are the three mitzvos that this medrash, in quotation marks, says that the Greeks really hated? What are the three that, at least, what are the three things they always talk about? Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. It's pretty... That's one approach, for sure. It's pretty clear, though, that they decreed against everything. They wanted us to be Greek. So, what's so unique about those three things? So, I'll tell you an approach you probably haven't heard before. All of these three things really have a tzad hashav, have one common denominator, and that's how much we're involved with nature and how much we're simply subject to nature, and don't tell me you have anything to do about it. Bris Mila, Ternus Rufus, this Roman general, comes to Rabbi Akiva one day with an innocuous question. Rabbi, it isn't. Rabbi, what's better? Something that man makes or something that God makes? So I asked this to my 6-year-old the other day, and of course, he answered correctly, something that God makes. Abba, obviously, right? Rabbi Akiva knew much better. He knew that's what he was supposed to answer. There was some agenda here. So he goes home and he says, Rachel, quick, bake me a challah. So she hands him this freshly baked challah. And he goes back to Ternus Rufus with some wheat stalks in one hand and a freshly baked challah in the other. And he says, tell me, which one would you like? Something that God made or something that man made? What was going on over here? So Ternus Rufus is saying, what better? The body, as God made it? Or bris mila, mutilation of the perfection that God created? So Rabbi Akiva was very clever. He says, yeah, you tell me, it's not so unusual that we're given raw material to develop and perfect. But you see from here that there's a philosophy that, what do you mean, if the body's created a certain way, who are you to come and change it? It's by definition destruction. So what about Shabbos? You know, the Kuzari made this famous. I had the opportunity to give a PowerPoint presentation on Rosh Chodesh to my guys at JSS a couple of weeks ago. And I put on the board, how do you know what a day is? And there was an earth turning like this. It's a physical day. That's what it is. When the earth spins around, you got a day. What about a month? Well, that's because of the moon. It's a physical phenomenon again, of the moon revolving around the earth. And what about a year? So the easiest year, of course, is the solar year, because there you'll see the earth going all the way around the sun. 365 days. A lunar year is a little more complicated, but you can have that too, where the moon is going through all of the constellations. So someone says to me, but Rabbi, you forgot one. What about a week? I said, there is no such thing in nature as a week. But Rabbi, everyone all over the world observes a 7-day week. Right? Don't tell them why or they might become religious. Because God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. So that's just the way it spins. It's time immemorial, apparently. It's an astonishing thing. So you can imagine a Greek coming to you and saying, I'm not going to observe a 7-day week. This is ridiculous. I observe nature. I'm related to nature. I'm living in nature. What's a little 7 in nature? It's ridiculous. No such thing as a week. Can't stand Shabbos. So that is the similar to Mila. What about Rosh Chodesh? You can imagine. We're going to go out, we're going to have witnesses, they're going to see the moon, and then they're going to tell the rabbis, we saw the moon! Congratulations! We'll declare it a new month. A new month. The moon came out, of course it's a new month. What does your declaration have to do with anything? So the answer is, we're Koveya the months. Koveya the months, what does that mean? Really, they follow the moon. Since we have something to do about that too. And in fact, this is the first mitzvah ever given to Jews, right? Rashi, first Rashi, Chumash Rashi writes, why didn't the Torah start with the Chodesh Zelachan, the first mitzvah given to the Jews? And Rashi has his answer. Why was it given in Mitzrayim already? I mean, the truth of the matter is, it was given on Har Sinai again, because none of the mitzvahs that we have because of anything before Moshe being on Har Sinai. Everything had to have been repeated through Moshe. Maybe that's a good topic for another time. So why was it given in Mitzrayim? Because that is the mitzvah that gave us freedom. We had our own calendar, but it gave us freedom in a much, much bigger way. It gave us freedom over nature. It gave us freedom over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't tell. What am I talking about? Rebbe likes to point this out. What day of the year does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sit in judgment? Rosh Hashanah. Right? So the Bezdin gets together, And they're deciding how many days should be in the month. Because the moon cycle is not perfectly 29. 29, 12 hours, 44 minutes. And we're in the 30 seconds. So why... I don't think we should listen to the Edom. We're going to have an extra day of Elul this month. We're going to push off Rosh Hashanah for a day. So can they do that? The answer is yeah. It's up to them. It's up to the Sanhedrin. They decide it's an extra day. It's an extra day. They can ignore the Edom. They ignore the month. But what do you mean? Our Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, but I want to judge the world tomorrow. Tomorrow. And that's legit. Yeah. So it's an incredible thing. So here are the Yidden, slaves in Mitzrayim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make you guys, you know, a power over everything. And there are other examples, but not for now. So what I'm trying to point out is that this is not much the antithesis of the Greek philosophy of we and nature, we're just, you know, subject to it. But there's nothing that we're going to do to control it. The opposite. We're going to work with it. We're going to live with it. And, you know, even when you look at their gods are all human. With all the human frailties. It's an incredible thing. So the nace of the war is gewaltig. So we won the war. But how in the world did you win a philosophical point? Oh, no, we really changed it. No, you don't. Yes, we do. We changed. No, you don't. Give me a prove it. So God says, I'll prove it.
And change nature.
Nature is not so natural, is it? It's not so binding, is it? You know, it's like Rechanina Mendoza walks into his house and his daughter's all upset because, you know, she put vinegar in instead of oil. So he says, what's the problem? What's the problem? So light it. We'll be fine. We're not concerned. The truth of the matter is, Rechanina Mendoza was a great scientist. Because you take a scientist and you show him vinegar or burning. So he's going to freak out. He's gonna figure out why it's combusting. He'll describe it to you in the chemical reactions, and he'll describe it to you. That's all a scientist does. He describes what's going on. It's not a problem. There's no reason why it has to be this way or that way. All the scientist does is he comes into the lab, he figures out what's going on, and describes it to you. So it's an incredible thing. So I would like to suggest that certainly one of the reasons why Kadosh Baruch Hu did the nace was to prove, to fight the second front of the battle. That internal gullus was to fight the philosophical point. You see from here, Klal Yisrael very much has a role over nature because nature is not all it's cracked up to be. And in fact, and you know, I'm gonna cut it off at this point, but just to finish up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this in an area of Dirabbanans. The whole Tumah itself was a Tumah Dirabbanan. The Tumah of the Greeks, and when they moved the container and gave it Tumah, the whole, this is all about supporting the Torah that also we have what to do with. One could also argue the Torah says whatever it says. You learn it, but there's nothing you could do about it. The answer is that's not so simple either. When the Rabbanan come along, the Rabbanan have chidushim, we have what to say in Torah also. Lo b'shamayim hi. So that's also very parallel to this idea of having what to say about the Torah, having what to say about nature as well. So that's also fascinating, but you know, that would take us to a different field. So all I want to point out to you is that this idea of this critical hashkafa of what nature is and its role, that is what's behind the chavivus hanes. And I'd like to suggest that's also what's behind the involvement of the bias. And I said this to the ladies, so you can read it on the rabbi's blog online, but on one foot, there's something called the Toras Imecha. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh Toras Imecha. Listen, my son, to the musar of your father. And don't abandon the Torah of your mother. Wait. But you didn't listen to the Torah of your mother. It doesn't say, listen to the Torah of your mother. It says, don't abandon it. But by the musar of the father, it says, listen to the musar of your father. When did you listen to the Torah of your mother? So the answer is, you don't listen to what's called Torah of the mother. Torah of the mother means that there are certain values that you imbibe and you absorb just by growing up in mom's house. And that's how she, quote-unquote, teaches you. And that's called Toras Imecha. The hashkafas ha'olam, the philosophies, the attitudes, the midos, the deos, these are things that we grow up with because of the way we grew up. We didn't even realize we learned it. That's the role of the bias. And that's what we gained from the nace of the parshem. Is something we should have learned simply from growing up, because that's the hashkafas ha'olam. So I think that that's why the bias is also, you know, it's integrated into the mitzvah, because that's really what was at stake over here, in that sense. So anyway, you can take a look. There's a Ramban also that relates to this. That's, you know, the last source. But I wanted to suggest to you that that's the basic gist. That perhaps the Chavivus Anais, what's behind the Pursue Anisa, is in all of those three cases, whether it's Ner Chanuk, whether it's Arba Kosos, whether it's Megillas Est, it's Purim, in all of those cases, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself behind the scenes. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing us by all the Makos that nature's not all it's cracked up to be. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing us by Purim that what you see as coincidence is not such a coincidence. This is all things happening behind the scenes. And whenever we encounter a situation where we see that what we usually perceive as natural reality is not so natural, so that's something that is so chaviv to express, and it's really at the root of the Torah. You know, if you'd ever saw, like, a Greek weather forecast, you know, it goes something like this, you know.
Well, the forecast is that it's going to be X, Y, and Z because of the high pressure, low pressure, jet stream, you know, etc.
And then you go to, like, the Jewish weather forecast, and they're like, how many mitzvahs did the Jews do this week? Because it says in Shema that if they listen to Hashem, there's going to be rain. Really? That's quite a weather forecast. But that's what it says in Shema. You don't have to go farther than that. So already you see that nature responds to the Torah. Nature responds to us. It's not so simple. There's nature, we're subject to it. That's the Greek philosophy.
Global warming.
So, global warming of the Torah. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Perhaps that's what's behind this idea that the Ner Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. And maybe that's even why it supersedes mitzvos. And this is a subtle point. But mitzvos, there is a limitation on how much you have to spend. But when it comes to Pirsumei Nisa is the foundation of the Torah. Pirsumei Nisa is the idea of the hashkafos that allow us to fulfill the Torah. You know, imagine Yosef in this week's parasha, just very quickly. You know, Yosef, so he gets punished and spends 2 more years in jail because he told the butler, mention me to Paro. He did too much hishtadlus. Didn't have faith in Hashem. What do you mean? That's what he has to do. He has to do hishtadlus to get out of jail. But if we're aware of the, so to speak, the pirsumei nisa, if we're aware of the reality that's really there, we know a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides. Now, we have a responsibility to mask his miracles, to mask his involvement. So if you mask it too much, it shows that you don't really believe that he's doing it. And you need to do something about it. That's called too much. Hishtadlus. And if you really trust Hashem, so then what do I need to do anything for? The answer is because he said you have to do hishtadlus, you have to mask his miracles. So it's not appropriate to say, no, do a nice for me. So you have to have a balance. But you're not going to be able to do that unless you really, really believe that nature is not all it's cracked up to be, that it's not all cause and effect. So if you really understand the Pirsumei Nisa, so then these are mitzvahs that can be fulfilled easily because we understand reality. So that's what I wanted to suggest. So everyone should have a very beautiful Chanukah, and our Neiros should express this. That should be the Pirsumei Nisa to Klal Yisrael and to ourselves, and through that we should all be zeichet to Mashiach Meher Amen.
It's good.